Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Work Won't Love You Back: How Devotion to Our Jobs Keeps Us Exploited, Exhausted, and Alone by Sarah Jaffe is a nonfiction analysis of modern labor culture and workplace ideology. Drawing on journalism, labor history, and interviews across a range of occupations, the book examines the idea that work should function as a labor of love, with passion, identity, and personal fulfillment expected to replace fair pay or decent conditions. Jaffe argues that this cultural script is not harmless inspiration, but a system that helps normalize overwork, low wages, insecurity, and emotional attachment to employers. The book is both critique and intervention. It challenges readers to see how devotion to work can obscure exploitation and to consider collective organizing as a more realistic response than individual commitment alone. Its purpose is to clarify why work feels so consuming in contemporary life and why that intensity often benefits employers more than workers. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the labor of love myth turns exploitation into virtue. A central argument of the book is that contemporary work culture asks people to treat employment as a source of meaning, identity, and even moral worth. Jaffe shows how this expectation can make poor conditions seem acceptable, because workers are encouraged to interpret sacrifice as dedication and underpayment as proof that the work matters. This is not just a matter of attitude. It is a useful ideology for employers. If workers believe they should be grateful simply to do meaningful work, then long hours, emotional strain, and weak compensation become easier to defend. The book is especially strong in showing how language about passion and calling can hide the fact that a job is still a job. By reframing devotion as a mechanism of control, Jaffe changes the reader's view of workplace norms from personal preference to structural pressure. Secondly, different occupations reveal the same pattern of overwork and emotional extraction. Jaffe widens her critique by moving across multiple fields, including teaching, domestic work, nonprofit labor, the arts, athletics, academia, and technology. This range matters because it demonstrates that the labor of love ideology is not limited to one sector or to obviously low-wage jobs. In each setting, workers are told that the work is special, mission-driven, or intrinsically rewarding, which can reduce resistance to bad pay and punishing schedules. The book's comparative approach makes a broader point: the more a job is framed as meaningful, the easier it can be to demand unpaid emotional labor in addition to productive labor. That pattern helps explain why people in very different occupations can share similar experiences of exhaustion and disappointment. By showing repetition across class and industry lines, Jaffe argues that the problem is systemic rather than personal, and that the same cultural logic appears in apparently unrelated workplaces. Thirdly, work identity can weaken solidarity by pushing individual advancement. Another major theme is the way devotion to work can isolate workers from one another. Jaffe argues that when people are taught to define themselves through their jobs, they often pursue individual advancement, recognition, or mastery rather than collective protection. This can make competition feel natural and solidarity feel secondary. The book suggests that workplace culture frequently rewards personal commitment while discouraging shared grievance, which leaves workers handling structural problems alone. Even professions that appear socially valued can produce this effect, because workers may hesitate to complain if they have internalized the idea that their labor is a calling. Jaffe connects this to a broader political issue: the erosion of class consciousness in workplaces, where people are encouraged to see themselves as exceptional rather than replaceable. Her analysis is persuasive because it explains why exploitation persists even among workers who know they are overburdened. The obstacle is not only economic but cultural, since the job has become entangled with self-worth. Fourthly, union organizing offers a practical answer to the culture of sacrifice. The book does more than diagnose harm. It presents collective organizing as the clearest alternative to the labor of love framework. Jaffe emphasizes that better wages, safer conditions, and healthier workloads are more likely to emerge from organized worker power than from individual passion or loyalty. This is an important shift in emphasis because many modern workplace narratives suggest that fulfillment should come from choosing the right job or caring harder about the work. Jaffe rejects that logic and argues that structural problems require structural responses. Her examples of organizing across different industries show that resistance is possible even in fields often considered too fragmented, professionalized, or mission-oriented for collective action. The point is not that every workplace struggle is easy, but that solidarity offers leverage that personal devotion cannot. By centering organizing, the book reframes work not as a site for self-sacrifice, but as a site where workers can negotiate the terms of their labor. Lastly, the book links personal burnout to a broader critique of neoliberal work culture. Jaffe's argument is rooted in a wider critique of the social order that treats work as the primary route to belonging, security, and value. In that context, Burnout is not simply a sign of poor time management or insufficient resilience. It is a predictable result of systems that extract more emotional and physical energy while offering little stability in return. The book helps readers understand why so many people feel simultaneously attached to and depleted by their jobs. It also explains why appeals to self-care are often inadequate when the underlying conditions remain unchanged. By connecting individual exhaustion to labor markets, managerial culture, and broader economic ideology, Jaffe gives the book analytical depth beyond a standard workplace complaint. The result is a critique of how contemporary capitalism asks workers to internalize the costs of keeping institutions running. That larger frame is what makes the book valuable. It turns private fatigue into a social and political question. In conclusion, Work Won't Love You Back is best suited for readers interested in labor politics, workplace culture, contemporary capitalism, and the hidden costs of professional identity. It will be especially useful for workers who feel trapped by mission-driven jobs, educators, nonprofit employees, artists, care workers, freelancers, and anyone trying to understand why dedication so often leads to exhaustion rather than reward. The book also offers value to readers of social criticism and labor history because it connects individual experience to structural analysis without losing sight of the human. Consequences. What distinguishes it from many books about work is its refusal to romanticize passion. Instead of telling readers to pursue their true calling, it asks why so many jobs depend on sacrifice and why that sacrifice is treated as normal. Jaffe combines accessible journalism with a forceful political argument, making the book both readable and intellectually pointed. Its practical benefit is not a quick fix, but a clearer way to think about wages, boundaries, solidarity, and the difference between meaningful work and exploitative devotion. If you would like to support Sarah Jaffe, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.